Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
What's going on? Fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, he just whipped his penis out.
Listen, this isn't just some club event. This is a festival centered around you. Featuring your favorite artists, amazing food, killer cocktails, Polynesian beach performers, and I even got the Wynn in Vegas, the pop-up, and encore beach club VIP section. We'll call it Grand Beach.
Relax, buddy.
Woo! Dancing, bikinis, partying. Polynesian beach performers.
And, you know, I'm hosting. I'm not really sure what I'm doing there yet.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich Show. Rich is out there in Miami for the Super Bowl. Thanks to your New England Volkswagen dealers this hour of the program. Brought to you by Eagle Leasing. Rich, wild times there in Miami. What happened after the show?
Oh, just shenanigans, yeah. So after the show yesterday, I ended up coming back here a couple hours later and it was starting to fill up. I actually saw, it was funny, I was down at the, you know, they have this thing every year called the NFL Experience where it's basically for kids. And it's this thing that they have where you can show up and, hey, run the 40-yard dash. And, oh, look at me, I'm wearing the uniform. What's it like to be drafted number one? And they have this, like, thing you can pay to be in a video where they call your name. It's kind of cheesy. But so I was down there because I was trying to get some tchotchkes, you know, for my kids to bring home. And all of a sudden, I hear this, ladies and gentlemen, to the Play 60 autograph area. Right now, it's Rob Gronkowski. And all of a sudden, I happen to be standing right near where that was. And it was, I almost got trampled. It was like bulls on parade. Everyone goes running over there to Rob Gronkowski. And so he was hanging out here yesterday. And I went and talked to his PR person. And Rob doesn't want to do a lot of interviews anymore, I don't think. I think he's kind of like past that. And so I said, you know, he might be coming by Friday, tomorrow. And they said that maybe he'd come by. I don't really think he's going to. But either way, that was that. And then afterwards, I went out to dinner with, you know, a bunch of people at the station. Like Felger, Maz, Jim Murray, Hardy, basically everyone but Zolak. And then afterwards, we all kind of split off, and I ended up hanging out most of the night with Felger, Zolak, one of Zolak's friends who's down here just, like, hanging out, and Jim Murray and Beetle. And we were out at the – we went to the W last night, and – like, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, just A-Rod comes walking by. And A-Rod, and it's funny, because I usually don't care, whatever, but when A-Rod comes walking by, it's kind of a holy crap moment. And so he was there, and we just, I mean, I got a little banged up, but nothing too crazy. So I got back in around midnight, and that's why you got the FaceTime call, because Zolak said, call Fred. And I'm like, I'm not going to call Fred. And he goes, call him. It's only 10:30. I want to FaceTime with him. I'm like, all right. So if in the middle of the night you realize you got a call, did you answer last night?
Yeah, I was asleep.
Okay, all right. Because it's all I called you, too. And I was like, all right, man, I'll call him. Because I knew it wasn't 11 o'clock yet. I'm like, all right, well, he might not be in bed by that point.
Yeah,
so.
I was asleep. Yeah, right. I got a call, and I'm like, I'm asleep. I was taking a whiz when I talked to him.
You were asleep taking a whiz.
Well, yeah, I was holding myself and going to the bathroom at the same time as I am wont to do. But so Felger wasn't too banged out from his wild night out?
No. He actually, like, looked fine yesterday. Like, I showed up to the broadcast, and, yeah, I mean, he was perfectly normal. He was fine. I mean, it's not like last year. I mean, last year, you got to admit, he looked like he got run over. He was fine.
He did. Night. I mean, he mixed alcohol. It was very dangerous what he did.
I guess it was.
You,
yes.
You could not do that. All right. Well, listen. So you got you got to spend some time with the people from the station, yeah. Which is very rare.
I did. Yeah. So, but in the meantime, I was sent something, an article that was written, Fred, that from Bleacher Report, and I just want to read you a part of it. It was kind of a hey, what Super Bowl week has been like so far. And I'll just read you a little excerpt from it. This is from the Bleacher Report. They said, some media types come to opening night looking to do a little comedy. Heaven knows Gridiron Digest has been there. I guess that's the segment that they write for. I said, but a lame gag can be a truly cringeworthy thing. Case in point, one reporter asked Sammy Watkins if he had ever been called, quote, the sandwich kid. No, never got that, a confused Watkins replied. You know, Sammy, sandwich. I get it. It's pretty cool. I got a lot of nicknames. Quote, would you consider that one? Quote, but why would it be a sandwich? What would be the meaning behind it? Quote, you know, Sammy, it's like what you call a really good sandwich. Hey, the sandwich kid. Quote, hey, I like it. Put me in the middle of this sandwich. I get it. And then Bleacher Report writes, now that we've read that bit written out, it's 10 times funnier in an office sort of way than it was in person.
All right.
They said, what were some of Watkins' real nicknames? SWAT, Dove, Bug, Starship 14, Slammy, a lot of different names. The Sandwich Kid is a long way from Starship 14, but it's a lot better than Slammy.
There, we'll see.
And, Rich, you weren't happy about it the next day.
Oh, no, I was fine with it.
Wait a minute. Fred asked you, did you ask the question? And then you paused and went, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's you know, it's don't get me wrong. It's awkward when you do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like you
say. Hey, Sammy, anyone ever call you the sandwich kid?
Nah, never. Never got that.
With Sammy Sandwich?
I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I got a lot of nicknames.
Would you consider maybe that one? I mean, that seems like one that probably would catch on.
But why would it be Sandwich? What's the meaning behind it?
Sammy. It's, you know, Sammy. Like, they should call, like, a really good sandwich. Hey, Sandwich Kid with another TD.
Hey, I like it. Put me in the middle and just sandwich. I get it.
Yeah. No, he didn't get it at all. But, yes, put me in the middle of a sandwich. That's not it. He's Sammy Watkins, therefore the Sandwich Kid.
That's right.
You know, Rich, I'm glad that as time goes by, people are. I have a feeling that in Super Bowl, you know, of the 2030 Super Bowl, people will be looking back fondly at that question.
I want him to score 3 touchdowns, just so everyone that night and the next morning will be referring to him as the Sandwich Kid.
Because I have a good feeling. Who's calling the Super Bowl? What network?
Fox,
is
right?
It's
Joe,
Fox.
Joe Buck
Joe
and
Buck.
Troy Aikman.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see Joe Buck calling the Sandwich Kid.
The Sandwich Kid.
Yeah, sure. Sammy. No, give me a Sammy. Ham on rye.
He's right, though. Seeing it written out, like, as if it's a play, is 10 times funnier.
All right, so they were, at first, they thought it was super lame.
Oh, they said it was, yeah, I mean, the way they set it up was, but a lame gag can be truly cringeworthy. Case in point, one reporter asked Sammy Watkins if he'd ever been called the Sandwich Kid. So there you go. And then at the end of it, they said, now that we've read that bit written out, it's 10 times funnier in a The Office sort of way than it was in person.
Yeah. See?
Now,
it was brilliant, Rich.
No mention of our Emmanuel Sanders, have you ever watched Emmanuel in Space? Emmanuel 1-2-3 question. There was no mention of that.
Well, that wasn't written out. That was a, what do you call it? That was a...
Off the cuff?
No, that was workshopped.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, I got to use the word ribald in an interview.
Well,
which...
you improvised that, which is good. But, yeah, the Emmanuel thing was workshopped. The Sandwich Kid, lots of thought went into it. I spent hours just going over what could possibly be asked to these people. And the Sandwich Kid, I mean, you know... I mean, I was crumpling up papers like I was Harrison Ford in a movie. I had a glass of scotch.
Just like,
I can't get it right. Okay, the Sandwich Kid is what it's going to be. So
listen, if anything comes out of Super Bowl week, it's that the world's greatest nickname for an athlete was born here.
That'd be,
and I mean, just pray for Sammy Watkins to be a star on Sunday.
Yeah, and they then, like run out of accolades, and so they have to, they're forced to come up with something new.
Like, right, these writers are just going to do a Google search. Like, hey, is this guy got any cool names? And all of a sudden, on the front cover of USA Today, the Sandwich Kid does it again.
Well, if it's on the front cover of USA Today.
There's really not going to be any writing. Yeah, just big pictures and crafts.
I'm not positive they still print that, but nonetheless.
Oh, I stay at a hotel. Yes, they do print.
Okay, so you get the nice five-page USA Today.
They only exist at, like, hotels.
Yeah, right. They put it in front of your door. It's like a nice, solid six pages of... you know what? I like the purple section.
Yeah, that's right.
Life.
Yeah, but they sometimes have to mix the purple and blue one together because it's just, you know, print media is just not doing as well as it used to.
It is not. It's
like a box of Nerds. I don't know, am I purple or am I blue? It's like half and half. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, they're mixing it all up. All right. Well, Rich, so much action last night.
You know what? Legitimately, okay, first of all, you know, we'll get to the stuff that happened Patriot-wise, because there was some pretty interesting, you know, things that kind of broke. Matter of fact, our one of our own employees at the station is gone national with a story that he broke yesterday. Wow. Also, there was something that happened last night in the NBA that was just utterly, was just phenomenal. Phenomenal. And
yes.
it involves Marcus Morris, who used to play for the Celtics, who, I mean, it's, in fact, it involves two ex-Celtics, so Jay Crowder as well.
Yes, so violence.
No, but it was. But what the whole scenario? I'm talking like the whole game and what happened afterwards is just. I mean, it has so many layers, and it all just comes back to the point that James Dolan's the worst owner in sports.
All right, so we will hear all about that. We will be back. Rich is over there in Miami, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What's up? We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
So yesterday, Roger Goodell did his yearly, hey, the NFL is awesome press conference where no one who isn't pre-approved ahead of time is given a chance to ask a question about anything. Trust me, in the past, I've tried, as did Michael Hurley. Or scratch that, I tried for Michael Hurley, and had I been called on, I would have read the entire page and a half question about Deflategate that Hurley wrote for me. But man, the man did not want it to happen.
By the way, Hurley, very recently, another article on Deflategate.
Yeah, because ESPN, someone from ESPN had written something about how it was a sham. And his thing, oh, you're only like 3 years late on this. You finally admit what we all knew now that you're not being told what to write and what to say and what to do.
Yeah, it's unhealthy. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's truly unhealthy.
I showed you the Sanskrit that he had just jotted on a sheet of paper, or two sheets of paper, that he wanted me to ask Roger Goodell at that press conference. I've shown you what it looked like.
No,
right?
I know. I was there. And I'll tell you this, is that it was very similar. I know you don't watch it. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Is when Charlie worked in the mailroom and was trying to find out and lost his mind and was connecting dots that didn't exist.
I think that was kind of a parody of A Beautiful Mind, the Russell Crowe movie, where he was doing the same thing, where he just, like, he completely lost his mind, like, exploded.
Yeah, I think it was more of a parody of The Zodiac Killer, but nonetheless, it was, Michael Hurley, I worry about. I truly do, because his obsession with the Patriots and Deflategate is bordering on psychopathic.
It is phenomenal.
He'll be in his garage with newspapers on the wall.
Well, that's he's married to it. Yeah, there's no question.
I mean, he put out an article like 3 weeks ago about Deflategate.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very impressed that Rich clicked on it. But
how do you not click on that?
Because I hated it when it was happening. I didn't care when it was happening. And Hurley's obsession with it is just now sad.
You kind of feel, I was just going to say, you click on it, you feel sad.
Yeah, sad.
No, I didn't, because when I clicked on it, you have to understand, I didn't read it. I just scrolled down to see how long it was.
Oh, all right.
Because I
that makes you feel worse.
Kind of. You were out or something, and we had him on over Christmas, and I can't even remember what happened. It was something with the Patriots. And
it was the videotaping thing.
It was something. And he was very offended that I thought that he favored the Patriots. He said that he shoots from the hip, and that he's like, you know, that's not the case. And to the case is that he absolutely is someone who is obsessed with the Patriots, and that they are being somehow vilified around the league.
To his point, one question that was raised yesterday to Roger Goodell was, what the hell's going on with the investigation on the Patriots videotaping the sidelines the Bengals game?
No, the Patriots aren't here, but we can't go a year without a Patriots question. I'm curious about the videotaping incident that they had with the Bengals. What is the status of the investigation? When do you expect it to be complete? And why is it taking so long? You have the video. The Patriots admitted wrongdoing. Shouldn't it be relatively open and shut?
Well, Ben, the answer to that question is no, it shouldn't, because our responsibility is to make sure we're being extremely thorough. We have a responsibility to 31 other clubs. We have responsibility to partners. We have a responsibility to fans to understand all of what happened and make sure that something that we don't know happened didn't happen. And so from our standpoint, we want to make sure we're being thorough. Our team has been on it. We have been focused on this. I think it has not been that lengthy of time.
Yes, it has.
We have obviously put the focus on it, but we're going to get it right. Yeah. And when we come to a conclusion, we'll certainly make sure people are aware of it.
Didn't I say that those exact words would come out of his mouth yesterday? We want to get it right. Ah, neato. He says that whenever he has no answer for anything, we just want to get it right.
Is there anyone in Miami immediately talking to us or in this room that cares?
About the videotaping thing? No. Ever since the Patriots got bounced out of the playoffs, nobody really cares.
I could care less.
Because
if they take away a first-round pick, I don't care.
I
care about that.
I mean, a first-round pick's a big deal.
I care about first-round pick.
They'll blow it.
They don't have a second. They need that first.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, they probably blow it.
Yeah, but what the hell? Who are they going to take?
But, yeah, I mean, do you think a first-round pick, that's a big deal. But it's also kind of simmered down is because wasn't there a leak a couple weeks ago that they're more than likely it's just going to be a fine? So nobody cares. The Patriots aren't here. They're not playing. But I think it's a worthy question worth asking. It's like, all right, you were so hot and heavy on this, and all of a sudden just kind of went away. And Ben Volen is right, even though he probably got a chubby when Roger Goodell said his name. Sure, Ben. Oh, he likes me. But I think that, you know, I don't know why when the Patriots have said, yeah, here's what happened. I don't know.
And screw ESPN.
That's right. ESPN lies.
They lie.
Well, everyone here on Media Row has sources, and they all stink, except for our own Hardy, whose sources I trust is gospel. Now, if you're not aware, Hardy used to work out in Las Vegas for years and still makes multiple pilgrimages out there every once in a while. So he reported yesterday that his sources have informed him that Tom Brady has indeed bought property out in Las Vegas. Here's a question. Why the hell would you buy property in Las Vegas if you weren't moving?
Certainly not for an investment.
No. Well, I mean, okay, in fairness, believe it or not, the past couple of years,
that's
been fine. But there's a million other places you can get better investments.
If I have hundreds of millions of dollars,
yes,
I'm not getting into the retail market or the real estate market in Vegas. There's a million other ways I can invest my money.
You're so right.
Well, where's the property? Is it on the strip? Over, on no, or off no. strip?
No, it's by Red Rock, which is actually a really pretty area, which is maybe 20 minutes outside of the city.
Okay.
And it's where Bret Michaels likes to go and play.
Gotcha.
That's his.
Yeah, it's called it's Red Rocks, and Bret Michaels Rocks is the neighboring town.
He
wears cowboy hats and wigs
and T-shirts that have a picture of him on it, shirtless.
And he wears and he takes girls out and makes them watch him ride motorbikes.
I mean, listen, why not? If you're Bret Michaels and you can do that on Rock of Love, then why the hell not?
I mean,
dirt cars or dune buggies, whatever they're called.
He loves dirt bikes.
He does.
He pops massive air in him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also Brady doesn't really seem like a Vegas guy. That's kind of more of a
if he bought thing. Property there, there's one of two things. Is that A, he's going to play there, or B, he's being cute.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the case. And by the way, if there's any chance of a union between Tom Brady and the king of white jeans, Mark Davis, that just makes me feel all warm on the inside.
I bet you. That, you know, I was talking to someone about this as I tried to spend my Brewster's Millions. I was talking to someone about this. I wouldn't be surprised if Davis gave him a big chunk of ownership stake.
What did I say? He's that dumb that he would do something like that. I mean, we're once again talking about a guy who gave John Gruden a 10-year, $100 million contract. A guy who hadn't coached in how long up to that point? Like 15 years? And because, the guy's good on TV, he basically just picked guys who are on TV and said, I want him to be here with me. And you know that he would do that with Tom Brady.
Can you
There's
imagine
no
that? Can you imagine
Can you
that,
though?
3 years, $100 million plus an ownership stake. And Brady with fading physical abilities, we saw a little bit of that this year. And he's 45, and he's turned into Peyton Manning, and he can't complete passes. But he has an ownership stake, so he can play as long as he wants.
I'd offer Jim Belushi a job, but he didn't take it because he was playing the blues.
That's what he did. He was honking on the bobo. Is that legal? Because, I mean, I got to think that there's salary cap implications and things like
no,
that.
No, you can give it. I think maybe not. I don't know how it would work, but he could go like he could. There's got to be a way that he would be like you would get an ownership stake in a job here afterwards or some
there's got to be some legal reason that they can't do that. But I see what you're saying, and I'm wondering if there's any kind of loophole in which they can do that, because if that's the case, then. I mean, that's just another way of circumventing. Then what's to say that somebody can't buy you a house, like a mansion, or somebody couldn't buy you a really nice car as, you know, extra incentive to get you to sign somewhere and get away from having to pay actual cash against the salary cap?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine in the contract he couldn't do it, but I would also imagine that you could make a promise that you would get an ownership stake eventually in the team.
Well, on top of that, Doug Kide of Nesson yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Doug Kide.
Yep. He reported, don't be surprised if Tom Brady brings along Danny Amendola to wherever he plays next season. That could even
out.
Be a reunion in New England.
Now, He's averaging two receptions a game. I mean, that guy, all the Detroit games I watched, I mean, you couldn't take your eyes off Danny Amendola. He was all over the place.
I asked him, I actually saw Doug Kide yesterday, and I asked
him. How'd you know who the hell he was?
Nesson. He's on that.
When was the last time you watched Nesson that wasn't a Bruins broadcast?
I watched that late night thing they got going on.
Yeah. Do they really?
They do. They do. That's right. Chatham shows up every once in a while.
Yeah, it could just be a picture of an ass for half an hour for all I know. Big Nesson broadcast.
Just trying to make their way, Fred. Trying to make their way.
Yeah. They make your mind up. Do you want to put money into the product, or do you want no one to watch? I mean, you got to make your mind up at some point. I mean, this is. I mean, I haven't. I have not watched Nesson that wasn't the Red Sox or Bruins, perhaps ever.
You are not a Mad Fisherman fan?
No,
sir?
I think he's a piece of trash.
Well documented.
We've heard the stories, yes.
Yeah.
He was on the very first Toucher and Rich show, and I
Yeah.
Oh, that I did not know.
Well, and he just lit it up. He was amazing.
That is something that I'm not proud of.
So maybe, just maybe, there's another reunion in Brady's future as well.
Yeah.
After taking some time off from liking his Instagram post yesterday, Brady returned right back to going, "Woo, I like this. I'll give you a heart," to Antonio Brown's Instagram entries. Yesterday, it was a pic of Antonio and Brady together, and AB stated that he wanted to play wherever Brady was next year. So maybe
it shows you Brady's a man of great character.
Well, just connect the dots now. Then maybe that means an Antonio Brown, John Gruden reunion.
Well, good. Listen,
would be awesomely awkward.
I'm very much in Brady. You can tell he's a super good guy if he's still in the corner of Antonio Brown. I like throwing you the ball. All right, Rich, I'm looking at the highlights right now, but what are we going to talk about?
All right, this Knicks thing's fantastic. Also, everything seems to be moving around. One last thing about Brady. Vegas has shifted where they believe he's going to go within the last 24 hours, and it is an interesting shift.
Wow. All right, we will find out all about that here in the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. Be listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Magic next Wednesday from Rafters inside TD Garden. Rafters is a social club with stunning views and a bunch of craft beer options. Go to tdgarden.com/Rafters to learn about the Rafters membership. Rich is out there in Miami, thanks to Eagle Leasing. What is going on, Richaroonie?
Well, the Knicks continue to be an absolute crap show, but yesterday's game against Memphis was just glorious. So the Knicks were playing the Grizzlies at Madison Square Garden, and Memphis is up by 15 with less than a minute left. The very definition of garbage time. The Knicks make a lazy inbounds pass because the game is all but over, but here comes Jay Crowder in to steal the ball. And then Jay slowly goes to the three-point line as the rest of the Knicks kind of just stand there in disbelief. Like, this guy's really doing that? And then this happens.
At 22 at the half, did Brooks.
Let's turn it over. And then Payton and Crowder, have to be separated. Morris shoves somebody as well. Valanciunas getting in the way. Payton, I think, objected to the game being over. And Crowder going for the steal. There you see Taylor Jenkins telling his guys to go to the bench. Payton has to be held back. The Knicks security doing a good job holding him back now. Mike Miller trying to calm down Payton. And as the frustration is boiled over here for the Knicks, Damian Dotson is upset. It doesn't appear any player from either team left the bench, which is always a concern because that's an automatic suspension.
So Payton just goes over and shoves Crowder into the seats in the middle of his three-point shot.
Good. He should.
Seats are empty, by the way.
The seats are, no one's in the front row. That's even better. That's the point. I didn't even notice that. That's right.
Yeah.
No one's even there in that front row.
Not even Pete Davidson with some girl pretending to like him.
He was gone by then.
Not Pete Davidson with someone just trying to get the tabloids to take a picture of them.
Right. Crowder goes in and steals the ball, and like there's three guys standing right by him like, you're kidding me, right? Like, no one's trying to do anything to take the ball away from him, and Payton just walks over and right in the middle of his three-point shot just shoves him into the seats.
As he should.
It was great. And even better, this right here were the fans in the crowd after the fight. That is a crowd yelling, "Sell the team," over and over and over again.
No, they're all not going to be able to go to games.
He's banning all of them.
He's banned the entire stadium from going to any more games.
That's right. Well, then things really got fun. Afterwards, Marcus Morris was talking to the press, and he had a few things to say about Jay Crowder, which, of course, isn't sitting well with many people.
You know, he played the game a different way. Like, he just had a female tendencies on the court, flopping and throwing his head back the entire game.
Yes, period.
Like I said, man, it's a man's game, man. You just get tired of it, man. And then, obviously, at the end, I was very unprofessional. They win in the game. It's a good team. And, you know, he does stuff like that, man. It's just unprofessional, man. It's soft. His game is soft. He's soft. It's just, you know, just how he carried it, man. You know, it's just very womanlike.
Yeah. He's very womanlike.
That's right.
He said that to a female reporter who asked him the question.
And she followed up, too. And not even about, like, saying about females. Like, was it the inbounds pass? And I'm just, I mean, he's just, yeah, he's like, yeah, lame like a woman.
Oh, man.
Crowder was having his period. He was complaining about things you don't really understand.
Remember when Morris turned down that offer from San Antonio at the last minute to go join the Knicks?
It was more money, right?
Thinks he regrets that. Yeah, but San Antonio offered him a 2-year deal, and the Knicks offered him 1 year for more money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to kill him for that. Although, I am, because he had committed to the Spurs. I think that, you know, they had all but signed the contract, and it was if the news had been out there, and then the Knicks come swooping in. He's like, oh, all right, we're going to give you more money. So it was kind of a dick move, but it was for a lot more money.
Crowder was buying a bunch of garbage from the internet because he was bored. He was acting just like a woman.
So Jay Crowder later retweeted Marcus Morris's comments there and wrote, "This is what 5-17 looks like." Thought that was a pretty decent reply. On top of that, there are reports that after that fight, the showers in the Grizzlies' locker room mysteriously weren't working. So think about that. You can't put it past me that Dolan was so
pissed. That sounds like heaven in high school.
right. You can't tell me that Dolan wasn't sitting there so pissed as they were yelling, "Sell the team," that he looked at it and goes, "It's all Memphis' fault. Shut off the water. Yeah. I don't want anyone taking a shower."
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Madison Square Garden. I mean, how could they possibly have running water?
I'm
glad that they shoved Crowder. That's not good. You can't do that.
And it wasn't even... I don't even think that there, because I didn't watch the game, obviously. I just saw the highlights. I don't think that there was anything leading up to them being pissed. I just think that Jay Crowder was being Captain Hardo. Like, I'm going to play to the buzzer, you know, I'll play to the final buzzer. I mean, what are you doing? At that point, I think you're up by 15.
No, he's trying to pad his stats.
Yeah, well.
No, you don't do that. It's the opposite of the Kansas thing. When Kansas had a 20-point lead and the guy steals the ball, I let him go and I watch him and I laugh.
Yeah.
When a guy takes the ball from you when they're up by a ton, that's when things are the opposite. And then he's lucky he just got pushed. By the way, Jay Crowder, a very intimidating looking man, apparently not so tough.
He's extremely sensitive on Twitter. Like, I mean, it's not quite to the level of Kevin Durant, but, I mean, he's an all caps guy, too, which is pretty aggravating when everything you write is in all caps. He does that constantly. But he's a guy that, as a matter of fact, he got in a fight with Tim Legler, I think, last night because of that comment on Twitter. I mean, he's just, like, fighting anybody who had a problem with what he did yesterday.
Well, Legler he's everyone's nemesis, if I could remember who he was. All right, Rich, what is coming up? You were there in Miami, or are there people around?
They're starting. I mean, the shows are here, but I know that there's a lot of people who are supposed to be here. Like, I mean, a bunch of coaches, I guess, later on today. Right now, I just hear the dulcet tones of Golic and Wingo right behind me.
Do you see the nepotism running wild while Golic's son has no shame and it goes on the same show as his father?
All I know is, Fred, they brought the bobbleheads.
Well, you got to. I mean, you got to show that you're having a good time. But I like the fact that Golic's son just said, "I am publicly going to take a job that I don't deserve, and show absolutely no shame about it. I want to work with Daddy."
I mean, that happens, though. Like, I'm not going to rip him for doing something that his father did. How many people get into their father's industry?
No, getting in with your father is fine. Doing a radio show with your father, which obviously he got you the job, is disgusting.
Well, it is kind of a stab in the back thing, because you know they're bringing him in because they want to push the older Wingo, Golic out and bring in the new youthful one.
No, I think that Wingo cried enough when the Greeny left that they said, "All right, what can we do for you?" And he goes, "Give my son the job." And the son went, "Okay," when the son should have turned it down. He should have turned that job down.
I don't know. He had a pretty good gig with that other dude overnight.
Well, that other dude in Siberia now, he's doing some like internet SI show, which he sucks at too. If I was his parents, I would be like, can you please just, like, you know, get a job at Target? But I like how Wingo's, or Golic sits there every day with his dad, just like, oh, this is perfectly normal. I mean, what's wrong with you? And get some more bad tattoos, you goon. All right, we will be right back. Oh, Crazy Town. Best band of all time. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. The score, a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Magic next Wednesday from Rafters inside the Garden. Rafters is a social club with stunning views and a bunch of craft beer options. Go to tdgarden.com/rafters to learn about a Rafters membership. TJ, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, good morning, fellas. I wanted to go back to what you guys were talking about with Jay Crowder. I just watched it again. That video of Gordon Hayward getting injured, if you watch him play defense on that alley-oop, all he does is bridge him. And he had made comments before the trade, where he displayed his displeasure with Danny flirting with the idea of bringing in a three. And that was Gordon Hayward, and then, you know, it was Durant before that and after that. And, you know, this Marcus Morris isn't wrong, you know. And I tried to defend him because he was wearing green, but now that I look at it, I'm like, yeah, he played like that a lot.
Well, the thing, just to correct you, you know, you're right that Jay Crowder was pissed about the Gordon Hayward stuff, but the reason was because, remember, they were playing the Jazz at the time, and the TD Garden crowd, like, went crazy when they announced Gordon Hayward's name, and Jay Crowder did not like that. And to that I say, sorry, he was a million times better than you were, Jay Crowder. I mean, you got to suck it up.
And it was funny because at the same time I was playing the Jazz flute. All right, Rich, what else is going on?
Well, even though the Raiders are getting more heat on the Brady front, thanks to our own Hardy reporting that Tom Brady had bought some real estate out there in Las Vegas, the odds makers out there aren't buying any of it. The newly updated odds on
Hardy,
Brady
jackass.
Hardy, you don't know nothing.
Yeah, good. Well, what do the sharps say?
We're going to have to ask the bankroll boys in about 5 minutes.
No, well, one of them's here.
Oh, excellent. Well, the newly updated odds on where Brady will sign now leans heavier than ever towards a return to New England.
Boom.
Patriots being favored by far being favored. Right now, they have it as the New England Patriots at -335.
A bunch of money must have gone in.
Maybe. I mean, because matter of fact, the way this whole list shakes out is strange now, and maybe we'll get the Bankroll Boys' take on this. So right now, New England Patriots are the only one that are at a minus. They're -335. Everyone else, you got the Los Angeles Chargers at +400. They're still hanging in there at second. And then it goes Colts in third place at +900. Tennessee Titans right after that at +1600. And then you've got, tied for everything else afterwards, the Panthers, the Browns, the Broncos, and the Raiders way down there at +2,000 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then they just threw in there, for the hell of it, the Chicago Bears at +2,500. So, Hardy, you're not moving the needle with your friends out there, unfortunately.
Yeah. What is he? His friend, is it a real estate agent? Where does this information come from?
You know what?
Was he out last night?
He was. He was out for the first half of last night, yes. Okay. And then he went back to his room. But I don't, you know what? I actually don't know where he got it from. And when we do the crossover, I will ask him. I mean, to be honest, I saw the report online and they gave Hardy the credit for it. So I didn't even hear him say it.
No.
I do know that they had, Felger and Maz had. Oh, gosh. I think it's the dude who that movie Won for the Money with Matthew McConaughey was
Brandon
based
Ling.
After. Yeah, that's him. Right. They had him on the show, and I guess he's got, like, guys out in Vegas who had said something similar, that he was either looking for real estate or he had bought real estate when he was out there.
Yeah, he led with that when he came on Felger and Maz.
Okay, so, I mean, there you go. And then Hardy probably took that news and then had it confirmed. And that might be why everyone's giving Hardy credit for the actual.
You got to check your sources. So, So, Felger, did he take any special treats?
If he did it after I left. So, I left them around.
Edible?
I don't know if he did. I know that the night before, everyone seemed to, I think that they did that.
Okay, so Zolak wanted to FaceTime me, because I didn't remember until you reminded me because I was asleep, but, so the idea was what?
Dude, you know Zolak. Hey, wake up, Fred! Go get Fred. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to wake up. Then I looked down. It was only like 10:30. I'm like, okay, I don't feel bad about calling it 10:30.
I don't care, but was he intoxicated?
Yeah. Everyone had been drinking. He had been with his friend at the W drinking for like an hour and a half before we got there. And okay. So they had set up shop. They'd bellied up to a spot there. And then by the time that me and Jim Murray and it was Bertrand and Felger showed up, he was already fielded. Although there was one. So the one thing about our hotel, I mean, it's great. It's really convenient, but the walls are paper thin. So yesterday afternoon, I'm getting up from my nap, and I hear this. Hey, listen, that room right there, I left my keys in. I don't have my keys with me. Could you just open it up, and let me in there? I promise it's my room. There's like a suitcase. It's in the back right corner, and there's a bottle of something. I drank some of it, so you can see it's like half full. So if you could just kind of go, you know, open up that door for me, that'd be all right. And he's like, oh man, you're the best. Yeah. And so apparently just got locked out of his own room, and he had to beg a maid to let him in.
Very rare for Felger to go out. I don't know in any of my Super Bowl experiences if Felger has gone out.
Felger double dipped. Like, he went out last night and went out obviously fairly long, and he did fine. And then last night he was out pretty late.
So they were still out when you went back to your room.
Yeah, but I left pretty late. I mean, I left probably around 11:15, 11:30, I think.
Now, you were at the W.
Yeah, like the bar at the W, which in Miami is a scene. Like, that is, I mean, it was, first of all, you know, everyone.
Did anyone cheat on their wives?
Yes, it was adultery everywhere.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it was like who wasn't?
It's not rampant. A story unless you cheated on your wife.
Right out in the open at the bar at the W. It was amazing.
Well, right, listen, I mean, there's reasons there's a table.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know what everyone did afterwards, but at that point, Felger was still growing strong. So was Zolak. And although no, I think Zolak went back a little bit after me because I heard him yelling in the hallway. So
okay. Well. Listen, it's nice that everyone has a chance to go out with one another. The Bankroll Boys are here. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.